Good afternoon. Today is Friday, January 26, 2024, and this marks the first day, our first attempt at Mom and I reflecting back on the years of our lives and talking about some of the experiences we have to accomplish a couple of purposes. One, at some point in the future, when we're no longer here, you can come to these recordings and hear our voices, but also an opportunity for us to share some of the life lessons that we learned that might be of help to you in your individual life. So our first set of questions today comes from Michelle. Mikkel. I just got off of the phone with Michelle Shaw. So the way this works, Michael came to us with the idea that anybody in the family that was interested could send us questions that we would try to answer as best we could. And so this first group of questions comes from Mikkel. And her first question was, what was our earliest favorite childhood memory? So Mom is going to begin with some of her earliest memories. Know that Mom had a biological father whose name was Vince, and she was living in Detroit on Lauder Street when she was about 3 years old, when her biological father died. And then about 2 years later, her mother married another man by the name of Louis Pluto. And so she'll explain her memories from those two perspectives. Okay, dear.
One of the earliest memories is going to a birthday party at a cousin's house. Her name was Pamela. And this was my biological father's niece. And I remember exactly what I wore. It was a plaid pleated skirt. And I kept going round and around to see the swirl of the skirt.
You were twirling, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was one of the memories I had. Another memory is, now I don't know if I remember every detail of this or I was just told this by my mom and aunts and uncle, but my real father died when I think I was about four or maybe three. And I remember the day that he died or the evening when he died, I woke up and had to go to the bathroom when all this was going on. And my mom brought my potty chair into the bedroom for me to go to the bathroom. It's just a very vivid memory because, you know, they were caring for my dad or trying to figure out what was the matter. And
your dad, your biological father, had died while he was in the shower, was it? Or the bathtub or something?
He was in the bathroom.
Okay, he was in the bathroom.
And I'm not even sure of the cause of death. Do you remember me telling you?
Yeah, well, I saw when I was doing our genealogy the death certificate on him, and it was, what would we call it? A congestion of the chest.
Congestive heart failure or something like that?
Well, it was something like that, yeah. but it was brought on by what was a common disease at that time that today we wouldn't have. It was a flu-like thing. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, go ahead.
So I remember that. I remember all the transition, all the my dad's brothers and sisters were there helping my mom after that. And because of that void, my mom had no income, so she rented. We had a three-bedroom house, and she rented two of the bedrooms out, and her and my sister my sister Diane and my mom and I all had one bedroom, and we rented the other two out to have some sort of income. My mom used to cook their meals and do their laundry. There were two men, and that helped with the income. Memories I have are parties. One party that I remember is we had all the neighborhood kids over for my birthday. I think it was my first birthday, and I was in a playpen on the front porch. And when the neighbor kids came over and had cake and ice cream. Another party I remember is my first Holy Communion. My mom had another party for mainly the neighborhood kids again, because she really didn't know what to do special for first Holy Communion, because she wasn't a Catholic, but she just knew that this was a special day. So she cut flowers out of the garden and she put them in this lamb type planter that she had saved from my birth, and filled it with flowers. And she didn't know, again, what was expected of the party, but she knew what parties I had been to. So she had cake and she had ice cream, and we played a few games, and that was a special memory. Another memory that I have is my grandma Betts, who was my mom's mom, used to have a special room off the dining room, and it was called the reading room. And my grandma was a minister in the, remember what the name of that was?
No.
Spiritualist religion. I guess you'd call it a religion. And she would do readings for people. She didn't charge from her anything. They just came to her to have her tell what she would see in this crystal ball that she had sitting on a special table, and it was covered with a scarf, and she would do readings.
Telling them their future.
Yeah. And I never really thought too much of it till I got older, and then I was trying to figure it all out. But she used to do that. Another thing, at different holidays when all my mom's brothers and sisters came over, they used to stand around a player piano and they would sing all the old songs from Frank Sinatra and Glenn Miller and all those people. They'd stand around and it was a pumper piano that played music. And they just picked what song they wanted to sing, and they had a good old time.
I remember that piano from when you and I first started to date. It was down in your basement.
Yeah. And I'd have parties, and we had this guy that played the piano, and we sang songs, or somebody would get on it and pump pump it. They thought that that was the neatest thing because no one had seen a pump piano where it automatically played the song. This music was on like a roll. And
a cylinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they put it in the place it belonged, I don't know, and it played the music because it was cut out on a piece of paper that was on this roll. That's kind of something you don't see anymore.
No.
But the kids really enjoyed doing that when they came over.
Well, and the thing to keep in mind from this too is that in our days of growing up, we didn't have any technology, which included TV, not until later on in life. And I know that that was one of my earliest memories was you lived in the city in Detroit, Redford, and I lived out in Farmington, which was, that was at the time, was way out in the middle of nowhere, small, very small community. And I remember the first time, we didn't have houses next door to us. They were probably the closest house was a half a mile away. But we still knew each other in the neighborhoods. And I remember, I want to say it was around 1949, one of the neighbors finally bought a TV. And the neighbors invited everybody that wanted to come over and watch. And it was a round tube TV. I think it was 9-inch, if I remember correctly. It was very small and it was black and white. And if I remember correctly, the first program I ever saw on it was the Howdy Doody Show.
Another memory I have is my Grandma Betts, who was my mom's mom, every year had an Easter basket for each one of the grandchildren, and they'd be all sitting on the front porch when we'd go over there. And that was really a big treat because it was all wrapped in pretty cellophane. It was from, you know, that she had bought at a store, all fixed up like that. I remember as we got older, my mom fixed the baskets. It was a lot. It was not quite as fancy as buying this fancy thing from the store. And every Christmas, my grandmother Betts also bought us all, the girls anyway, a doll every Christmas. And that was another special treat.
You know, going back to watching the first TV, I can remember we didn't have TV or we didn't have cell phones or, in fact, we had party lines. If I want to go back in time, I think there were six other families that shared a party line with me. So if you wanted to make a phone call, you had to pick up the phone and listen to see if somebody was speaking on it. And if somebody was speaking, you had to hang it up and wait your turn until you finally picked it up, then there was nobody talking. And early on, there was an actual live operator that you would say, I remember our phone number began, it sounded like Greenleaf. So I'd say, give me Greenleaf 2654. And that was somebody's phone number. And the operator would put it through. And then eventually the telephone operators were replaced with automatic dialers, which was a major improvement. But I also remember me and some of my buddy friends for entertainment there was a family that had a young girl that was, I'm guessing we were 9, 10, 11 years old, and this girl must have been 16, 17, 18, but she had a boyfriend. And We would very quietly pick up the phone sometimes to see if she was on, talking to her boyfriend. And if she was, we got entertained with some very romantic talk. And sometimes it sounded so funny to us, we'd burst out laughing, and then she'd get all upset and tell us to get off the line until she was done.
Speaking of telephones, we didn't have any place private to talk on the phone. So when us girls would get on the phone, we would crawl under the desk that was in the dining room and pull the phone itself into this little crawl space and talk, which you think about today, and that was so funny. Everybody could still kind of hear, but you felt like you had your privacy because you were under this desk.
Well, every one of our girls did the same thing growing up, Tracy, Shannon, and Sean.
That's true.
We had the phone in our house in the country in St. Louis was right inside the kitchen wall from the dining room. And so we bought an extra long extension cord, but even that wasn't long enough. And the girls would, I don't know, that thing probably stretched 12 feet. They would go into, was it the bathroom or a closet or something, where you kept the ironing. We had a little cupboard.
Yeah. Or the washer and dryer.
Yeah, and they would go in there and close the door and talk on the phone.
Because the door was closed, they thought no one could hear.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just a...
Yeah, it was a slider. It wasn't any soundproof room by any imagination. A couple of memories I have, earliest memories. One is my earliest memory. I was, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years old, but it was Christmas season, and back then, I probably got 2 or 3 presents for Christmas. So it wasn't like today where we inundate our kids with presents. It was 2 or 3, and my mom and dad had asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I said I wanted an electric train. And I wanted that train so bad. And I remember Christmas Eve, I had to go to bed early so Santa could come. And I remember, let me see, how many rooms did we have? We had, at my house, we had a bathroom, my bedroom, the living room, and a kitchen. So we had a 4-room house at the time. And so it was quite small. And I remember I was having trouble going to sleep because I was so excited. I hoped Santa was going to bring me the train. And as I'm laying there trying like heck to get myself tired, I hear this woo woo outside, and I thought, oh my God, that's Santa Claus. That's the sound of an electric train. And so I got out of bed and put my ear up to the door, and it was my dad playing with the train, getting it set up, and I could hear it. Another early memory I have is, I spent the first 3 years or 3.5 years living in Detroit. My father was an assistant superintendent of the DSR, which was the Detroit Street Railways. And because he worked for the city of Detroit, he had to live in Detroit. But my dad grew up in the country, and he hated the city life, and we eventually moved out to Farmington. But
from there?
Well, Dad had, he rented an apartment in Detroit that technically was his address. But our house, by then we had moved down into Farmington. And I remember Mom and Dad had, we were still living in Detroit. And I remember it was a big house. In fact, I've gone on Google Earth and looked up the old address, and it was right downtown Detroit in what today is, we would call the hood, not too far from the Detroit River. It was on Richton. And anyway, Mom and Dad had left me home. They had to go somewhere with my sister, Pat. And my sister was 10 years older than me. And so I'm about 3 or 4, and it was either late spring or early summer. And Mom and Dad were very clear when they left the house that Pat was in charge and I better behave. And I remember Pat told me to do something that I was really upset about. I didn't want to do. And so as she told me, she was walking out our back door, which was a kitchen door with a glass window in it. It went out from the kitchen onto a porch. And whatever it was, I was upset with Pat. I came running from the front room into the kitchen, and I was going to, I don't know what I was going to do, if I was going to jump on her back or what, but I was just a step and a half behind her, and she closed the back door again, which was glass, and it surprised me, and I put my hand out and ran right into it. And when I did, I sliced my right arm, from my wrist all the way up to my elbow, and I don't know how many stitches I had, and they had to take me to the emergency room. I was bleeding all over the place. So that was another memory I have.